The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
This one is entitled Moses. George W. Bush was in an airport lobby, and he noticed a man in a long flowing white robe and a long white beard with flowing white hair. The man had a staff in one hand and some stone tablets in the other arm. The president approached the man and inquired in his typical George W. Bush fashion, "Aren't you Moses?" The man ignored George and he started staring at the ceiling. The president got more directly in front of him, right in his view, and asked him again, "Aren't you Moses?" The man continued to stare at the ceiling and ignore him. Once again, the president asked, while he's tugging on the man's sleeve, "Aren't you Moses?" The man finally responded in an irritated voice and said, "Yes, I am." And the president asked, "Why are you so uppity?" And the man replied, "The last time I spoke to a bush, I spent 40 years in the desert." Oh, I wish I could take credit for writing that one.
No.
If so, anyway, that's it. I'm done. Have a good day. Got to end on a high note, right? Get while the getting's good. We're going to be in Joshua this morning, if you want to turn there. We're going to Joshua in Numbers, because this morning we're going to talk about one of my favorite characters of the Bible. Joshua. His name is Caleb. This morning we're going to talk about courage. Courage to move on is a practical illustration of the biblical principles to move on to God's promises in our lives. This morning, we are going to look at the life of Caleb in hopes to be encouraged in our walk. I mean, we're all working towards goals in our lives, regardless of our age, I would hope anyway. Many times, people start off well. They work very hard towards their goal, but get discouraged along the way. Some get all the way to the brink of victory, and yet, when the moment comes for the dream to happen, we can miss it. Are you now, or at some point, I know I have, gotten to the point where you're stuck in life, where things have just kind of stopped? Are you fighting any roadblocks to the promises that you have? Have you lost the courage to move on? So I'm talking about Caleb, just a little background on him. He was born in Egypt. He was given into slavery to Pharaoh. He had a tough life. He had a hard job, as most of the Israelites did back then. When he was 40 years old, he left Egypt with the Israelites. Then he had spent 40 years in the wilderness, which was also obviously very difficult for him and for the rest of them. By the time we get to the book of Joshua, which we're going to hit chapter 14, just so you know, Caleb and the Israelites are at the promised land. They have taken possession of much of it, but there's still a little bit more for them to claim. And in verses 10 through 12, this is what Caleb says. "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out into battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Caleb was a very courageous man. He had the courage to move on at every stage of his life, and he just kept fighting because he knew he had God's promises. So I want to talk about, because I know you're going to ask the great question of how did he find that courage? And it is a good question that you're asking. In World War II, U.S. Tank Commander General George S. Patton said, "Courage is fear holding on a minute longer. If you give in to your fears, you're on the path to defeat. Instead, if you stand strong in spite of your fears, you are on the path to victory." We are not alone in this fight. We have God standing with us to give us the courage to move on. So there's three points I want to make this morning in regards to Caleb and having the courage to move on. The first one is faith to forget the past. And when I say that, we should never forget the things that God's done for us in our past. So setting that aside, because we can always fall back on that as courage, give us the courage for the things we're going to face. So when I say faith to forget the past, we're not going to forget those things, because we can always look back and see how God brought us through some of our trials and tribulations. When Caleb moved on in his life to the promises of God, he had the courage to forget, whatever was behind him. If you want to, you can flip over to Numbers. It's going to be chapter 13. And this is where the 12 spies were sent out to spy out the land. They all came back with the same facts. They all found out that the land was flowing with milk and honey. It was fruitful. It was a great place. And it was everything that God said it was. They really didn't need to go spy it out, but they did it because all they had to do was take God's word for it, because he told them about the promised land. But they went out anyway. And they even knew about the giants that were there. God told them about that too, but they still went out anyway. When they came back, 10 of the 12 had a different report than Joshua and Caleb. 10 of them said, "Ain't happening. We ain't doing this. These guys are too big. We'll never take them." They even got to the point where they were willing to go back to Egypt to be enslaved. But I you know what? I can relate. You know, we sit there and we always make fun of or chastise the Israelites for all the times that they disobeyed God. And we're like, how could you do that? I mean, really? He parted the Red Sea. He did all those things. And you still disobeyed. And then I look at my own life. And then I just like keep going. Okay. So anyway, Caleb said he came back with a positive report like Joshua did. So in Numbers 13, 30 and 31, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly not do that." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." Caleb was a man of faith. However, the people of Israel turned their thoughts back to Egypt. Numbers 14:4 makes reference to that, where they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." The Israelites were not concerned about the slavery or making bricks again back in Egypt. They thought being treated as a slave was not as bad as they thought it was. They lost sight of what the promised land was. They thought about the past, but Caleb had the faith to forget the past. He had the faith to turn his back on the past and look to God's promises. Numbers 14, 6 through 9. I'm going to try to pronounce the name, but Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, I guess. It's the best I can do with that one. Who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." That's the kind of courage that we need to have as well when we go through our daily lives, when we look to the goals and the promises that God has set for us. We need to remember that if God has set this in front of us, he's got the ability to take care of it for us. It says that right there. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us, and we should not be afraid. And that's how we need to approach our everyday lives. It's hard to do, especially in the environment that we're in now, in 2020, which is by far the worst year I've ever experienced in my lifetime of almost 50 years, and I'm sure it probably is for most of you. It's hard to be encouraged through times like this, but then that's why we draw on what the Lord says, that he's already taken care of. The protection is gone. Do not be afraid. Caleb had turned his back on Egypt. He has turned his back on his past. The Lord said in Luke 9, verse 62, Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." We got to continue to look forward. We are to keep going forward. As I said, if God has led you to a certain decision and you have started following along and you have come to a place where you're seeing giants and feeling timid about going ahead, don't be discouraged. Have the faith to forget the past and keep pressing on. The Lord said to the invalid of 38 years, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." The Lord told him to take up his bed because there's no turning back from this, no relapse. There is only forward progress in the Christian walk, and you and I need to forget the past and put it behind us. Philippians 3:13, and if you guys want to get these verses afterwards, I know I'm going through kind of fast, but I'll be glad to share these verses with you if you want them. Philippians 3:13, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Amen. Memory is a wonderful thing. Some of us are losing our memories. We have good memories. Maybe presently you are facing a challenge and you are thinking about your past. If you want success, you'll have to stop looking backwards. Stop worrying about what has happened. You can never drive a car if you're looking in the rearview mirror. If you keep looking back, you'll never go straight. Sometimes it is good to forget. An old man moved into a retirement community to spend the rest of his life. There was a lady he was especially attracted to, and she was attracted to him as well. So they spent a lot of time together. Finally, one evening, he proposed, asking her to marry him. The next morning, he woke up remembering his proposal, but he couldn't remember her answer. So he went to her and said, "I'm really embarrassed. I proposed to you last night, but I can't remember if you said yes or no." "Oh, thank goodness," she replied. "I remember saying yes, but I couldn't remember who proposed to me." Sometimes it's good to forget. We need to forget our past. How do we forget our past? Excellent question. I'm glad you asked him. We got to forget past successes. You cannot depend on your past victories and glory to help you in your present condition. Some of us are relying on our past good times and past glory. And again, this is not what God has brought you through in the past. This is on your own. Your future is not based on what God has done in your life. Your future is based on what God is going to do in your life. Second thing is we got to forget past failures. Probably more important than anything else. Yeah. As children of God, we cannot worry about our past failures, sins, and shortcomings. Because if we did, that's all we'd be thinking about. We cannot allow our past failures to defeat us. For example, well, who do you think gives us the best example in the New Testament of failures? Peter. How many times did he fail? But God still used him in the end. The problem is God has forgiven us. But if we don't forgive ourselves, we hold on to the past. Don't worry about what happened in your past. The truth is everybody has blown it at some point. I probably blew it driving down the hill to come to church this morning at some point. If somebody cut me off, I guarantee you I blew it. Nothing you do will change your past. The past is the past. Learn from it and then let it go. Caleb had the courage to move on because he had the faith to forget the past. The second thing is faith to face the present. The second reason Caleb had courage to move on was that he had the faith to face the facts of everyday life. Christian life finally comes to the practicality of everyday living. How we respond to every issue, circumstance, and challenge in life determines our courage to move on. And if there's anybody that had daily challenges, it was Caleb. One was a tough desert. He was walking for 40 years. God's presence was with him, but it was not easy. They were attacked by snakes, scorpions. They did not ever have a sufficient supply of water. The journey was long and tiresome. They were attacked by hostile communities and spent 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness. The entire generation died, but the wilderness and the sins of the people did not kill Caleb. Second thing is the negativity of people. Can you imagine hanging out with that many people that were so negative all the time? Could have been easy. When the 10 spies came with a negative report, you can see the attitude of Caleb in Numbers 13:30, which we read. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Numbers 1:46 says that some 600,550 men, besides women and children, left Egypt. There were only three who were positive: Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. The third thing he was aging. He was 85 years old. When he took up his last battle, he was 85. Age did not deter him. The Jews divided old age into three stages. 60 to 70 was commencement of old age. So some of us are still all right. 70 to 80 was advanced, overused, or unoriginal. I like that. And a man over 80 was well stricken in years. And Caleb was 85. This is the time most of us will be using sticks, canes, or whatever else we can, wheelchairs or whatever else we need to get us around. But he kept his mind young. He took care of his health, and he was strong and fit. The fourth thing, he was of non-Hebrew descent. Caleb and his brother, Othniel, I guess, are said to be Kenizzites, the grandsons of Esau. That suggests Caleb was not originally a Jew, but his grandparents joined with the Israelite community at some point. And I'm sure because he joined, he had to prove himself. And then he was selected as a spy to go into the promised land. It was not an easy thing for him. And the last thing, I'm sorry, was personal hindrances. You probably didn't know that Caleb had to live with a bad name. The name Caleb means dog. His father seems to have a bitter sense of humor. Having heard that a son was born to him in Goshen, Egypt, he probably would have thought, what is the use of a son? Sons are being attacked by Pharaoh. Even if he survives, it is going to be a dog life as a slave here in Egypt. In the ancient world, dogs are often mentioned in negative terms as lowly animals with little honor. I don't think they had them in their baskets and cars and put little outfits on them back then, like we do now. But some texts in the Bible use the term dog as a metaphor for humility and faithfulness. In this context, the name meant faithful servant. Every day when people called him, he had to face the reality of his name. But Caleb decided that if he was going to be called dog, he'd be the Lord's dog, despite having a name that meant dog. Caleb decided that he would follow the Lord wholeheartedly. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses gives the review of Israel's wilderness experiences after the Exodus versus a comparison statement concerning Caleb. Again, I can give you these later if you want them. Deuteronomy 1, 30 through 33 says, "The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, and before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go." But Caleb was different. Joshua 14:9 says, and this is what Moses has to say about Caleb, "Moses swore to me, the land in which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that for our children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly." The testimony of Joshua about Caleb in Joshua 14 says, "Then Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him Hebron as his inheritance." Hebron has belonged to Caleb, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. God's testimony about Caleb in Deuteronomy 1, 34 through 36 says, "When the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, 'No one from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your ancestors, except Caleb. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he has set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly.'" The Lord replied in Numbers 14:24, "Because my servant Caleb has different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." Caleb followed the Lord. Hey, you guys are awake. A couple of you are. Every day in his life, and God's promise to Caleb was the promised land. If you're discouraged today, God can give you the strength that you need. The third point I want to make is Caleb had the faith to face the future. Caleb had the courage to move on because he had the faith to face the future. Joshua 14:7 says, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a good report according to my convictions." Joshua 14:10, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years. Since the time he has said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I'm reading this fast because we already read it. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. Now Caleb is an old man, and he's in the promised land, but some portion is yet to be won. The Anakites were still in the land of Hebron, and these were the giants. According to some of the research I did, it was believed that these guys were anywhere from 7 to 13 feet tall. So they were pretty big. They were living in the best place of the land, the promised land, in the hill country called Hebron. Caleb picked the toughest enemy in the best land and said, "That is the place I want." For 40 years, Caleb was dreaming of taking over Hebron. Hebron actually means communion. So for 40 years, the Israelites were murmuring and complaining about everything and wanting to go back to Egypt. Caleb said, "I want Hebron. I want communion with God." The 40 years killed the rest of them, but not Caleb. They grew old, but Caleb stayed young. The giants in the promised land made the Israelites look like grasshoppers. But Caleb thought of God. 40 years he communed with God. They are in the promised land, and Caleb is still dreaming of, or is dreaming now of Hebron. While the other Israelites are satisfied with little victories, Caleb wanted the hill country of Hebron. Paul said, "I am not living my Christian life aimlessly. I am having a purpose. There is a goal. I want to see Christ. I want to be like him. Christ is my prize." Caleb had faith for the future. He had the faith to say, "God, I want you to give me the part, my part of the land. I want Hebron." Yes, there were giants there, but it didn't matter. He wanted the land, and he knew God was going to give it to him. From Hebron, Joshua 15:4 says, "From Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites." They were sons of Anak. I'll just say that. Caleb drove them out. Hebron became his possession because God was greater than the giants. Yes. Caleb had great decision in the waking years of his life. He had great dedication. He had great determination. And he finished strong. It is one thing to start good, but it's also a totally different thing to keep your fire until it's time. The Amazon River starts 70 miles from the Pacific Ocean in the snow-filled Andes of Peru. The river travels 4,000 miles through Bolivia, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, and Brazil before emptying itself into the Atlantic Ocean. The origin of the river is a very small and tiny drizzle, which then draws water from over 200 streams. By the time it comes to Brazil, it rushes with great force, and the river refuses to die. The Amazon is 90 miles wide at its widest point before it reaches the Atlantic Ocean. And the currents of the force of the river can be seen 200 miles into the sea. This is Caleb's life. This can be our life as well, if we have the courage to move on. Remember, courage to move on will come if we decide to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Yes, all right. So how do we do that? Every day? Commitment, or we need to commit to follow God, even going against the flow. We have to accept the sovereign choices of God. We need to be eager to act upon his promises. And we need to be willing to tackle the tough turf. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Are you enjoying all the spiritual blessings that God has for you today? You say, "I have lots of troubles. There are a lot of things that you can complain about. But what about your hope in the Lord?" Like Caleb, we need to commit to follow the Lord wholeheartedly.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com.